Which Way LA is made possible in part by the Ralph M. Parsons Foundation, the Nathan Cummings Foundation, the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation, and the John Randolph Haynes and Dora Haynes Foundation, which supports study and research into policy issues of the Los Angeles region.
Have magnet schools outlived their usefulness? Hello again, I'm Oren Olney, and this is Which Way LA, KCRW's ongoing series on the issues Southern Californians care about. By the deadline this coming Friday, some 60,000 kids will have applied for just 15,000 slots in LA Unified's Magnet School program. All over the district, parents are trying to game an admission system that's based in part on racial quotas that are 30 years out of date. Tonight, the magnets were born to accomplish integration. If they're not doing that, what are they for? Are race-based admissions even legal under California law? First, here's the news. Norman Olney back with Which Way LA on KCRW. In the 1970s, California courts ordered forced busing to achieve racial integration in LA's public schools. Thousands of white parents then moved away or sent their kids to private schools. So LA Unified developed the magnet schools with programs of such high academic standing that all parents would voluntarily send their kids across town. Now, forced busing is a thing of the past, but the magnet schools have become the most popular in the district. Parents have until Friday to turn in their applications for next year, and one of the criteria for acceptance will still be race. Ryan Strauss wrote her dissertation on the magnet program at UC Irvine. She's now a professor at St. Rose College in Albany, New York. Professor, welcome to our program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Race is still the basis for application, but for admission, I should say, but integration is no longer the purpose of the program, according to you.
No, I wouldn't actually go quite that far. Technically, it is still the purpose behind magnet schools. That was the founding reason why they were started in the 1970s. What I argue is actually that people no longer view it that way, so that people thinking about magnet schools in Los Angeles, rather than thinking about vehicles for voluntary integration as they did originally, now talk about them as schools of academic excellence.
Now, when you say people, do you mean people in the school district? Do you mean parents? Do you mean teachers? Who are you talking about?
Primarily within the local media, you find a lot of parents and local leaders, political leaders, religious leaders, who consistently throughout a three-decade period have changed the way they talk about the schools from being about integration to being about academics.
Tell us then about what is said about the academic excellence of the magnet schools.
Well, it's certainly no question that these are excellent schools for the most part within Los Angeles. People will, you know, go through all kinds of schemes to try to develop more and more points, to try to develop a greater chance at the lottery system. And people don't, you know, they try to think about, well, should I call my kid white or minority if they're of a mixed racial background? All these things to try to get into these really good schools because they do have a very good reputation, and that reputation is usually pretty well deserved.
Some very interesting combination of things you just said, people scheming to game the system, trying to get a better chance at the lottery,
right,
and trying to decide if their children are white or minority. What's that about?
Well, if a child is of a mixed race background, which is not all that unusual in Los Angeles, some schools, in order to maintain their integration ratio, which is either 60-40 or 70-30 white and minority, in order to maintain that ratio, schools are supposed to have a certain racial mixture. And you find a lot of discussion about parents. The LA Times has a very interesting forum about this on their website. Discussions among parents saying, well, should we know which box should I check? Which one will make my child more likely to get in? But again, they're doing it primarily for the academic reasons.
How realistic are these racial quotas, 60-40 in one case or 70-30 in the other, white in the other, white versus minority? Does that make any sense in 2007 in Los Angeles?
You know, I would say not. And even back in 1978 when the schools were first developed, I don't really think it made sense. Los Angeles has never been a black, white, biracial community. One thing that the district could have done back in the 70s is to really define integration as a multi-ethnic definition, trying to integrate blacks, whites, Latinos, Asians, all other different groups. That's not the way they approached it. Now, they could still change that, I certainly haven't seen any move on their part to want to do that. But it's this very old-fashioned notion that you're either white or a minority.
Again, Los Angeles, the most diverse place in the Western world, perhaps in the entire world, and yet there are only two categories in
right.
the racial qualifications for magnet schools.
Right.
Again, Ryan Strauss is professor at St. Rose in Albany, College of St. Rose in Albany, New York. We'll come back and talk to her further in a moment. First, here's Paul McCudden. He is a screenwriter, part-time professor at L.A. City College and at Chapman University, too. He has one son in the Millikan Magnet Middle School in Sherman Oaks and one school in regular public school in Eagle Rock. Paul McCudden, welcome to you.
Thank you.
What has it taken? What kind of gaming have you had to do in order to get one of your kids into the magnet schools?
Well, I think the gaming thing is a little overemphasized. I mean, the mention of the checking which racial category your child fits into is certainly one thing. But beyond that, most of the choices are pretty much made for you. You know, everyone does go through that question, who can? Which box should I check? But ultimately, most of the points come from, factors like how crowded your school is and how racially diverse it is and things like that. So I don't think there's as much gaming as people claim. And I think it's a lot of, you know, frustrated parents who are trying to game and maybe not being able to do it as much as they can. But you know, I admit that we went through the choices brochure, the brochure that every parent gets in LAUSD, and thought about, how many points do you get for this and how many points do you get for that? But I don't recall there being actually that much to game.
What about the brochure that the school district sent around? Is it something that's easily understandable to a screenwriter and a part-time professor?
Well, to a screenwriter, no. To an average person, probably. But it's LAUSD is famous for its bureaucracy, and its forms are sometimes not the most well-presented and coherent, but it didn't seem overly difficult. However, you know, English is my first language, and I don't have as much trouble with those things as some other parents might. So I can see where the brochure might be a little intimidating. How can one get around that when there's so many parents out there reading every word very carefully? I don't know. I don't know if there's a way to make it that much simpler. It's just it's a complex idea, and it has to be presented, you know, in all its complexity.
I can't help but talk about the point system in a little bit of detail. It's sort of mind-numbing from a standpoint of radio, but let me just read for our listeners who might not have gotten the brochure or know about this what it's all about. You can get matriculation points. That's for every consecutive year that you've been already in a magnet school, up to a total of 12.
Mm-hmm.
If you apply to a magnet and you're rejected, then you get 4 points every time you're rejected. And again, you can get a maximum of 12.
Mm-hmm.
Then if your district is in an area that's called predominantly Hispanic, Black, Asian, or other non-Anglo, there we are in that two-category issue again, you get another 4 points. If the school in the neighborhood is overcrowded, you get another 4 points.
Mm-hmm.
If you have siblings who attend the magnet, you get another 3 points, and the total you can accumulate is 23. So now you've got one kid in a magnet school. He's been there for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Another you can't get in yet. How come? If you would get, presumably, matriculation points. Certainly.
Yeah, well, we tried to rent another sibling to give him more points, but no, it didn't work. But no, I mean, we've applied our younger son 2 years in a row to the same magnet that our older son was in at the neighborhood school and have been denied both times. But that's not been a problem. We actually have a very good neighborhood school here in Eagle Rock, and he's had wonderful teachers and classes, so it hasn't been a great tragedy. But who knows how many other people have points more than us. And, you know, that's not information I have. And frankly, it doesn't bother me too much.
Well, you're not told then why one child is rejected.
Oh, no. You just find out that, you know, you were not chosen for the magnet.
Well,
now, I don't know of anyone who can find out, you know, their position on the list or where they are. But you're just either accepted or denied.
Now, if you have such a good school in Eagle Rock, why do you want to get the other kid into the magnet school?
Well, that's the deep question. And I think that it's not that we feel an overwhelming desire. For one thing, it's because we want to continue the sense of community that our older son had in the magnet. We know the teachers, or we know one of them. One is subsequently retired. But we know parents. We know other kids in the magnet. And we want we would like him to be part of this sort of small community within a larger community that we're familiar with. You know, many of our friends have children in that magnet. For a sense of community, I think, is the main thing. But, of course, having been in the regular neighborhood school, which is all on the same campus, of course, for several years, we have a good sense of community with the regular school as well. So, you know, there isn't a driving kind of obsession to get into the bang of this. There is perhaps with other people. Not that that's not a good thing.
Well, let me ask you about this racial issue. That's where all the gaming comes in, apparently, and where the decisions and choices are the most difficult. Your wife's mother is Mexican. So technically, then, you could apply as being Latino. Is that right?
That is correct from my understanding.
And so that would then give you more points, give you a better chance of getting into a magnet?
Well, but of course, it would give you more points unless, as the professor was saying, unless your school, in order to set its particular quota, needs more white kids, then it would be better to be a white kid. You know, now, how one can determine what, you know, particular, you know, 60, 40, 70, 30, where the percentages sit with your school is frankly beyond me. So, I don't think I have, or my wife and I have thought that much about that whole idea, but I can see where some parents might.
Apparently they have, and as you say, there are those who have to make that choice. Should we label our child minority, or should we label our child white, since those are the only choices that you have? Again, Paul McCudden's a screenwriter, part-time professor, and a parent of students in L.A. Unified. Sharman Curry is Assistant Superintendent for Student Integration Services. She oversees the magnet schools in Los Angeles in the L.A. Unified School District. And Sharon Curry, thanks a lot for being with us.
You're very welcome.
Does all this make sense to you?
Which part?
Well, I guess let's start with the racial part.
Well, as you know, the admittance to, well, first off, to talk about why we have the program, as you all know, it's a result of a court order back in 1976. And LAUSD responded to the charge that we were operating segregated schools by providing a voluntary integration program. And the magnet schools are one part of the way we address the issue of integrating our schools. It is based on a point system, as you've talked about earlier, matriculation points when moving from one level to the next, elementary to middle or middle to high. We have wait list points for students who are not accepted into a magnet. It's good for up to 3 consecutive years. And then, of course, the predominantly Hispanic, Black, Asian, and other non-Anglo, overcrowded points and sibling points. So the admission into a magnet school is based on the number of points a child has acquired.
But what about the question of race and the decisions that people have to make as to whether or not it would be advantageous to them, if they are of mixed background, to declare that their children are white or that they are minority? That apparently makes a big difference depending on where you live and what school you want to go to.
Well, the whole objective here is to maintain an integrated school. And as you've talked about, the ratio of 60-40, it's to maintain a racial balance in the school. Now, whether or not the parent of a biracial child determines, it's up to them to determine how they categorize their child. You know, I mean, it all goes back to how they're raising their child to be either Anglo or to be Hispanic or to be African-American. That's between a child and their parent. Now, talking about whether or not it's going to get you into a magnet school, that's a parent's decision. And it shouldn't switch back and forth. It depends on how you're raising your child. Now, we know that certain schools, depending on the location of the school or the number of parents that have chosen to go to a school, you may have more Anglo kids or you may have more minority children attending that school. And because the whole objective is to maintain an integrated setting, we're going to, when selecting students, after looking at the points accumulated, as students are selected based on the number of points, in order to maintain that ethnic balance, you're going to choose either a minority child or an Anglo child to maintain that 60-40 ratio.
So you can see then, though, why if a parent is particularly interested in getting their child into one school or another, they're going to have to make a decision about which of their which part of their background they choose to emphasize.
That's up to the parent. As I said before, I hope it's the way they're raising their child in general and not switching back and forth if it suits them getting into a magnet school.
What about this issue of there just being two categories, white or minority, with the ratios being either 60-40 or 70-30? They were, as you indicated, determined in 1976 when there were something like 40% white students in the L.A. Unified School District. Now there's 8%. Do those ratios make any sense?
That's what is in the district. You look at the demographics of our city. You know, we have a diverse district. Currently, yes, as you've indicated, there are about 8.80% white students in LAUSD. We have about 73.20% Hispanic students, 11.40% African American students. You know, those are just the facts of the makeup of the district right now. We do know that when you look at data.
Excuse me, let me interrupt you. Mm-hmm. Why not base the ratios for the schools on the facts of the demographics as they exist right now?
Well, we're going back to our original court order, which goes back to the final court order, which is Crawford, back to 1976. And FABAO, P-H-B-A-O, stands for predominantly Hispanic, Black, Asian, and other students. We're also, when we talk about integrating our schools and using integration funds to do that, we're addressing the harms of racial isolation. That was all part of the court order, too, because we know because of the demographics of this city, we have communities that are racially isolated.
Sure.
You know, we have children that only go to school with African American, Hispanic kids only go to school with Hispanic children because of the demographics of this city. So the magnet program is one way to address this issue of segregation. Parents are at choice when it comes to the magnet program. You know, everyone has an opportunity to apply to a magnet school, and based on the number of points they have, that determines their admission to a magnet program.
Sure. But you're saying then that because the court decision came down in 1976, that's the ratio you're locked into. You have to use that same ratio in 2007.
That's what we're doing, yes.
Again, Sharon Curry is Assistant Superintendent for Student Integration Services. Well, you were the principal of a magnet school.
Yes, it
and,
was.
And you had some challenges trying to get white parents to come to that school, even though it was in a white district.
Well, it wasn't in a white district. That's
incorrect.
Okay. The school was in a predominantly African-American community.
I beg your pardon. Go ahead.
Right. The school naturally would have had about 75% African-American students. So as the school became a magnet, and as not just because of becoming a magnet, but because of many changes at the school where it was becoming quite successful academically, it was my goal to have a really outstanding school and to attract all of the children that were moving into that community. And the demographics were changing in that community where more whites were moving into the school. But there was some hesitation on the parts of some parents, Anglo parents, to have their children attend that school because they would have been one of a few. So the goal was to have an integrated school, and in order for that to happen, as parents were, as whites were moving into the neighborhood, I wanted them to enroll their child, and this was prior to becoming a magnet, enroll their child into a good school where there was good teachers, where they would be welcome, nurtured, you know, they would be a part of a community. But I understand there is a reluctance to have your child go into a setting where they may be in the minority, a white student, you know, who is a minority in a predominantly African-American school. It works the other way, too, where we have children in magnets that are still, and I'll give you an example, North Hollywood High, the magnet school there. A magnet school, but still has a large Anglo population, and only a few African-American students attend. And there is a reluctance on the part of African-American parents, just like on the part of Anglo parents, to send their children into a setting where they will be one of a few.
So integration still is a very challenging goal in the L.A. Unified School District.
And I think it's a goal throughout our city. how we maintain integrated programs. And that's the beauty of the Magna program, because believe it or not, there are parents that still want their children to attend a Magnet for that purpose, because they want their children to be in an integrated situation. They have an opportunity to learn from other children who are different. They have an opportunity to participate in programs of interest with excellent teachers, high standards, rigor. So we are really providing, we believe, the jewel program in the district. Because more than anything, it is providing an opportunity for integration for all of our children, because we all understand how important that is.
Sure. Sharon Curry, again, Assistant Superintendent for Student Integration Services, among other duties, oversees the Magnet Schools in Los Angeles County. Let me go back to Paul McCudden, our parent out in Eagle Rock, trying to decide what to do about his children, one of them in a Magnet School, one of them not. Is integration one of your goals?
Well, integration is a loaded word. As Ms. Curry said, building community is the goal. And absolutely, it's one of our goals, my wife and I's goals, to have our children learn from be in an environment with a diverse group of young people and learn from them and teach them. So so I think integration, you know, in its kind of true meaning, yes, is one of the goals, to keep our children aware of the complexity and diversity of the world in their everyday lives.
Would it be fair to say, though, that your primary goal is to get them the best education you can?
Well, those two are pretty much identical. I think getting a good education means learning from different people, and you know, times tables are times tables, no matter what classroom you're in. But learning how different cultures approach mathematics is fascinating. And of course, we all want the best education for our children, but part of education is, in today's world, is understanding that it's a complex world.
Ryan Strauss, let me go back to you at the College of St. Rose in Albany. Once again, did your dissertation on the L.A. Magnet School program at UC Irvine. I take it from what you said earlier that Paul McCudden may be unusual, that many parents are much more concerned about academic excellence than they are about integration.
That is certainly my impression. Now, I haven't had the opportunity to interview parents to really find out empirically how true that is. But if you look at some of the public discussions, the way, in particular, the way in which they're portrayed in the local media, people now rarely talk about the integration benefits. Now, I am very, very glad to hear that some people do still consider that important. I academically and personally continue to find it very important. But again, if you look at the way the conversations are constructed in the media, the quotes that are used in the local media and the local press, that's not the way they're usually portrayed.
Let me ask you this. I'm not sure that any of you on the program are prepared to answer this question. It's a legal question. Nonetheless, I'd be interested in your reactions to it. There is a lawsuit now based on Proposition 209 in California, passed overwhelmingly by the voters, challenging the Magnet program because it uses race preference in part to determine who gets into school and who doesn't. Professor Strauss, are you familiar with what that's likely to mean for LA Unified School District?
Not so much about that one, but we do need to keep in mind that the U.S. Supreme Court is considering right now two very similar cases, which could wind up trumping a California case anyway. It would depend on how each of them is written.
Superintendent Curry, back to you on that issue. Is that something the school district is worried about?
Well, we know that it could have an impact. The Supreme Court, however, rules in those two cases could have an impact on our program here.
Is it possible that if the decision goes the way that the Prop 209 supporters want it to go, that you'd have to disassemble the Magnet School program?
That's a possibility. But because it is a legal issue and we are involved in a court case, I would really prefer that our lawyer would comment on that.
I understand that completely, and it's very much your right, perhaps even your obligation to say that, but I did want to raise the issue.
Right. No, we are. And, to be quite honest, we are concerned. I think we're more concerned because we hold value in this whole approach to integration. And we worry more, and our parents, I think, are quite worried because we know the excellence of the program, and if we were to lose that, that would be tragic. But also, we would also lose our means in this district of integrating our schools.
Paul McCudden, final question to you. The deadline's Friday. Are you stressed out about that?
Well, you know, my older son is transitioning from eighth grade to high school. I say we're more stressed out about that than the younger son getting into the magnet program. But there's some stress involved. But as I say, it's not that huge a deal because our neighborhood school is quite good. We're pleased with the teachers and the community itself, and we know that whatever happens, our younger son is going to have a wonderful education, and so will all the other kids in this class.
Paul McCudden and Eagle Rock, thanks to you. Thanks to Sharon Curry, Assistant Superintendent for Student Integration Services, and Professor Ryan Strauss at the College of St. Rose in Albany, New York.
Thank you.
Which Way LA, produced tonight by Dan Konecki and Christian Bordahl. Our technical director is Mike Newport. I'm Armin Alney. Join us again for Which Way LA on 89.9 KCRW.
Which Way LA is made possible in part by the Ralph M. Parsons Foundation, the Nathan Cummings Foundation, the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation, and the John Randolph Haynes and Dora Haynes Foundation, which supports study and research into policy issues of the Los Angeles region.